are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
Welcome to the Branding with Purpose podcast, where we interview successful entrepreneurs on how their purpose has led to an impactful personal brand. I am so excited that you've joined me today. I am your host. I'm certified digital marketing and branding expert, Shantha Wetterhahn. Today's episode is sponsored by Up to Me Magazine. You can find the self-empowerment magazine at www.up2memagazine.com. We are so thankful for our sponsors and the sponsorship with Up to Me Magazine. I am just so excited about today's guest. I have a very special guest today. Her name is Sue Gresham. Sue has been teaching professionals how to use LinkedIn to grow their businesses, their brand, or find a job since 2010. She offers one-on-one individualized LinkedIn coaching, profile audits, online classes, webinars, workshops, and corporate training for small to medium-sized businesses. She facilitates in-service programs and speaks to organizations of all sizes, including professional business groups, industry trade associations, high schools, and colleges. She makes LinkedIn simple to learn and easy to use. With her background as a teacher and her nurturing personality, it is no surprise that her superpower is helping people figure out what makes them special and gives them the confidence they need to use LinkedIn as a platform to expand their networks and grow professionally. Outside of work, Sue actively works with job seekers as a board member for 40 Plus of Southeastern Wisconsin. It's a job search advocacy nonprofit. Sue is a wife, mother, and grandmother who is a huge Green Bay Packer and Wisconsin Badger fan. Sue, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank you, Shantha. I'm so pleased to be here.
Yeah, I am very, very excited about this topic. I absolutely love LinkedIn, and it's grown my business so much, and I wouldn't actually be on this podcast right now if it wasn't for LinkedIn. Melinda, our executive producer, was one of the people that I met through LinkedIn our relationship has grown, and so many opportunities and doors have opened up for me in that relationship and others. So, yeah, I'm very excited to get your feedback, your input, and your expertise today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And Shantha, that's how we met. So it's kind of fun.
Absolutely. Absolutely. LinkedIn never, never disappoints.
No.
So I want to start off with you. How'd you get started with LinkedIn?
Well, you know, it's kind of an interesting story that I'll try to keep brief. I lost my job back in 2008, right? Literally the week before the economy crashed. And I was really at a loss. I was in manufacturing, and I had a pretty upper level management position, and I was really at a loss on what I wanted to do. And I discovered through my job search groups that LinkedIn was really something that we needed to be doing even back in 2009. And so the quick story was that I developed my business totally with the idea that I was going to be starting doing social media for small businesses because I knew that they needed help. And so I got certified, I became a strategist, and as I was doing social media for companies, I really was doing a lot of Facebook. And I was doing a lot of individual work with people on LinkedIn, but a lot of the corporate side was Facebook. Well, as Facebook had evolved and changed, and as it's changed even drastically in the last few months, I really didn't enjoy working on Facebook. where I did enjoy was LinkedIn. And I found my niche, so to speak, in helping individuals first, really finding their voice and getting comfortable with it. And so I pretty much stopped the whole Facebook end of my business, rebranded myself within the last, I started a couple of years ago, but officially finished the rebrand late last year. And so now I'm full-time LinkedIn, and I am so much happier. It's just
wow.
So much nicer.
I love your story. I think, you know, as small business owners and entrepreneurs, we, you know, sometimes it's easy to get stuck in that rut, but I love what you mentioned in terms of rebranding. So that's one of the reasons why I enjoy having a business is I can rebrand, I can refocus, I can, you know, lay something down and, you know, say, hey, I don't want to do that. I don't want to offer that service anymore. I can offer a brand new service or learn a brand new skill. So I think that's the beauty of being an entrepreneur. And there's freedom in that as well.
I absolutely agree with that. And, you know, the beauty of another part about being an entrepreneur that's so amazing is that, as you kind of mentioned, it's the whole learning thing. I'm a former teacher, and to me, the best thing in the world is to learn. And as an entrepreneur, I'm doing that every single day. It's crazy.
Absolutely. So let's talk about LinkedIn. I, you know, I'm hearing that you actually, you helped people with Facebook prior to this. So let's talk about what separates LinkedIn from other platforms. What makes it so different and so beneficial for people who are trying to get a new job or trying to grow their business? What's the difference between LinkedIn and every other platform out there like a Facebook?
Oh, wow. Well, so, you know, the thing about LinkedIn that makes it so special and so unique is that people are on LinkedIn, generally speaking, for the same reason. They're professional people on LinkedIn because they want to be branding themselves as professional people. People go, jump on Facebook. You know, I'm on Facebook as a friend and as a daughter and as a, you know, as a cousin and every, and as a classmate and every other little hat that I wear. When I jump onto LinkedIn, I am a professional. And so it makes it really easy to set the boundaries on what I'm going to speak about, who I'm going to connect with. It doesn't have as many muddy waters. Granted, there are muddy waters, but it's not nearly like Facebook. Generally speaking, the people that are on LinkedIn are there for a purpose. And I typically talk with when I'm starting a talk to an organization about really understanding why the other people are there. There's typically three or four reasons why people use LinkedIn. Either they're there to find a job, they're there to sell or to prospect, they're there to just actually maintain their personal brand and have an online presence, or they're there to learn. And so, you know, it's a little bit different than the Facebook world. We also don't have on LinkedIn, we don't have as many people. So the feed isn't as full. I think we're up to about 565 million people across the world now. And the people that are on LinkedIn, the average income is somewhere over $60,000. They change that number every year, and I'm not quite sure where it is this year, but it's somewhere over 60,000. So it's a totally different type of environment.
Absolutely. So let's start with the profile. Once you've made the decision to actually use LinkedIn to grow, what are some elements of a really effective profile that you suggest your clients have?
But the first thing that I talk about when I speak with my clients is that they need to realize that this profile is being created by them, about them, and it should really speak to the person that is reading it. You know, most of us are afraid to talk about ourselves. Most of us don't really understand our value and skills that we have. We might know a few of them, but digging deep, you don't really know all of them. Throughout our career, and I think I'm on my fifth career now, as a grown-up adult out of college, throughout our careers, we have a lot of things that come and go, a lot of changes that happen, but each one of them generally progressively build upon each other. And so as we are adapting. You and I spoke just earlier about, you know, we can change what our offerings are, or we can change what we want to work on as entrepreneurs. LinkedIn is a living, breathing document. It allows us to go in at any given time, update it, change our focus if we want to, if we're looking for something different, but then basically keep it a real living document where we're speaking about ourselves. So the very first thing I talk about is, okay, people, let's think about speaking in first person. I, it's not your resume. It's not bullet points. It's your story. So getting people into that mindset is the first thing. Then, of course, how do they look? And when I mean look, I mean how are they portraying themselves visually, but also in their written word. So they need to have a really strong profile photo. Doesn't have to be super polished from a photography studio, but it certainly can't be a selfie. And it needs to really show their face and show a smile, because that's what's going to invite people in to read more about them. And then as we continue through the whole profile, your profile is built on keywords that are used for people to find you. And so you want to make sure that while even though you're speaking about yourself, you're really speaking about your skills and you're speaking about the services and the things that you do. So those are keywords that somebody will search for, such as a coach or as an entrepreneur. They may not look for the word entrepreneur, but they're going to look for other words that lead to the point that show that you are an entrepreneur. And so those things have to be in your profile. It has to be rich, rich, rich with experiences and answer the question of what it is that you do and how well you do it and what really makes you good at what you do.
Yes. And LinkedIn, it's really evolved so much over, I would say, the past 5 to 7 years. I started using LinkedIn back in 2005. I was a recruiter for the financial industry, so I wanted to find those top-tier candidates who may not have been on Monster.com or CareerBuilder, who probably weren't actively seeking a job, but could be recruited into a really good company if given the right opportunity. And LinkedIn, it was awesome for that. I found some really great job candidates. And back then, we never really even considered using LinkedIn for anything else aside from finding a job, connecting with recruiters, you know, maybe even building relationships with hiring managers. But now LinkedIn has evolved so much, and I'm sure you've used it for your own rebranding as a tool to grow your business. I know I have. Can you talk a little bit about this shift? And also, I know you do help job seekers. So let's talk about, you know, personal branding, profile branding, not just for business owners, but also job seekers and individuals across the board.
Absolutely. So to answer your first question about the rebranding, some of the things that I'll be talking about with the job seekers, it'll be obvious how that rebrand happened, because for job seekers and even for business people, we need to be thinking about what we do, what we have to offer everyone. And the profile, when I sit down with an individual and we go through their profile, the first thing that we do is we figure out what it is that their strategy is. Why do they want to be on LinkedIn? Okay, because that becomes the gateway for everything that they put on their profile, who they connect with, what stuff they post as status updates and what groups they grow into and belong to, and that whole process. So generally speaking, you know, once we figure out the goal for an entrepreneur, an entrepreneur's goal may be to grow their business, or it may be to rebrand as you and I have done. Or it may be to find, not just to grow your business, but to find colleagues to help you, you know, partner with. So depending on what those goals are, you will focus your profile and your, your activity, your status updates on those things. Job seekers are a little different because they're trying to fit into a niche of what a company is looking for. They have to really understand what they can do. So as I'm talking with individuals, we start out with really going back over their work history. And we figure out where have you worked. You know, that's important that that stuff be in there. And for a job seeker, it's very important. And, well, and it isn't even just for a job seeker, right? You know, I don't want to just lump it all together. But even for an entrepreneur, you want to be consistent. And you want to make sure that if your website says one thing, your LinkedIn profile says the same thing. Doesn't have exact wording, but at least it has to be consistent. Just like with a job seeker, your LinkedIn profile has to be consistent with your resume. So the idea is, what is it that you're selling? What are you doing? You've heard of that statement, what's in it for me? WIFM, what's in it for me? As an entrepreneur, we're talking in the summary section and in the individual experience sections about what's in it for the reader. What is the product that you sell, or what is the service that you sell, or what is it as a job seeker that you have to offer? Every employer has a reason that they're looking for someone, right? They've got a job opening. Either someone left it or they're growing their company, but they've got a need and it's our job to fill it. It's our job as job seekers. It's our job as entrepreneurs to help fill those things. So it is a good summary, and it talks about what it is that you do. It, you know, you kind of have a tagline or a your elevator speech, so to speak. You know, that 10-word, 20-word phrase that you use that describes what you do and how you do it and who you do it for. A summary has that. It talks a little bit about what's your history, about how you got to where you are. And the one thing that a lot of people don't put in their profiles that I'm a huge proponent of is a call to action. In your summary and in your experience, your current experience, what is it that you want someone to do after they've read your profile? Mm-hmm. Do you want them
what
to pick up the phone
really
and call
good,
you?
What are some good examples of call
yeah.
to action?
So for a job seeker, because that's the easy one to start with, for a job seeker, in your summary, you'd say, if you know of someone looking for my skills, please contact me at, and you list your email. For a business owner, if you're trying to sell your coaching services, you could use pretty much the same wording. If you know someone, or if you or someone you know needs help in the area of, let's say, email marketing, contact me at with an email. So that way you make them think about what the next step is. You could say, interested in what I have to offer, call me. You could say something like, off the top of my head, if you were an accountant, if you're having problems with your taxes, if Uncle Sam is chasing you, now obviously that sounds a little spammy, so I would reword that. But now that I said that, that's a little spammy. But if you need help with your taxes or if you need help organizing your business files, contact me. This is what I'm here to help. So those are just real simple calls to action. As an entrepreneur, maybe we want people to come to our visit our website. Maybe we want people to sign up for an email blast. Tell people what you want and then give them the link or the key to get there. So you're not selling
awesome.
Directly. But you're kind of doing a soft thing.
Absolutely. Yeah, LinkedIn is one of the first things that comes up in Google search. So I think because of that, everyone should at least have a completed profile there to at least, you know, take the steps to claim that online real estate, so to speak, since, you know, if someone Googles my name, my LinkedIn profile is going to come up the highest above all the other search options there.
Absolutely. They say that if you're not online, I hate to say it, but if you're not online, you don't exist. So LinkedIn is the one place where you can control what's being done and what's being said about you because you're the one that's putting it there. So it's absolutely a must that you have a full profile.
Yeah, so social media as a whole is so noisy. There seems like, you know, it seems as if one thing will catch on, a trend will catch on, and then everybody does it, which, you know, it's reasonable, it's rational, it's a best practice. You know, once something is, you know, proving itself to be successful, other people are going to want to do it. What are some things that we can do when on LinkedIn to stand out from the noise, to stand out from the crowd, and really be seen and heard?
Oh, I love that question. The first thing to do is to not necessarily think of LinkedIn as a social media platform to be blasting your sales message. All right. There's plenty of other avenues for that. So what you want to be portraying on LinkedIn is that professional image that I mentioned earlier. And that comes about by actually showing thought leadership, showing that you are there for the relationship and that you're there for the long-term end game. You know, as we know, people do business with people they know, like, and trust. That is probably one of the few facts that you cannot dispute. Yes, price comes into play at the end, but even before you get a chance to submit your proposal or to even have that conversation, they have to really feel comfortable in knowing who you are. So the LinkedIn process is not to, you know, I like to say that sometimes you go to a networking event in person and somebody hands you your business card and then they walk away. And what do? You wind up throwing it away because there's really no opportunity for a conversation. So the part about LinkedIn that's amazing is that you have an opportunity to have conversations with a lot of very, very intelligent people in your industry, thought leaders, and so on. And you can become a thought leader too. And I realize the term thought leader might be scary to some individuals, but really we're all experts at something. Every single person that's in business is an expert at the job that they do. So you have an opportunity to have conversations through the status updates, through articles, long articles that you post, in order to really develop that brand and to develop that audience where people will get to know and like and trust you, that will help you get your business and a job. Mm-hmm. So posting status updates, commenting and sharing other people's posts, while it may sound kind of simple, if you are posting things that are of value to people, if you're posting information that people want to know, that will help get through the noise because people pay attention to that. They don't necessarily pay attention to the advertisings. They don't necessarily pay attention to those math problems that just drive me crazy. You know, 1 + 1 + 1 is what? And, you know, they try and stump you. People don't want to play those games. They want to learn. So that
absolutely
helps bring you outside above that noise.
So how often do you post the status updates on LinkedIn?
If there was a set rule, it would be awesome. The main thing is, first of all, knowing who your audience is and what you're trying to portray. So, for instance, if you are based in England and you're trying to reach out to people in the United States, obviously you're going to want to post the time of day when people are online, okay, when they might be on LinkedIn. As far as how often you post, I've seen people on LinkedIn that will post post after post after post, and it shows up in your feed, and that almost, you know, it's like they've been on for 10 minutes and they have to share everything within those 10 minutes. That kind of feels spammy. So if you can create a post or comment a couple of times a day, that's terrific, spaced out. But in reality, most of us don't have time to go on and post a lot of times a day. So if you can hit your market once a day at a time when you know that they're there, that will certainly get you some good traction.
Absolutely. Do you ever suggest using automation tools like a Buffer or Hootsuite to post for you on an automated basis?
Yes, I do and I don't. How's that for one of those it depends answers? The idea, and I will say I use Buffer to post I post a tip a day, a LinkedIn tip a day, different times a day that I do it, but it's only one tip a day, and it's only one time a day. And I do use Buffer for those. But then the trick is to go in and comment and to reply and to be present for the conversation that happens afterwards. And so, you know, that's, I do use Buffer to guarantee that I have a post that goes out every day. But I make sure that I go in at least every day or every other day, because Sundays I don't necessarily always jump in. I go in and I at least look to make sure that if somebody has commented, I'm commenting back. That's that relationship building. Even if someone says, nice tip, Sue, I will say, thank you. Because that's what you do in real life when someone gives you a compliment. One thing about Buffer that I will mention, Buffer is really awesome, and so is Hootsuite, and there's others too that cost more money. But what I'm going to mention is that something happens with LinkedIn about every 30 to 60 days, and I'm not tech enough to know what it is, but they change the linkage or something, and maybe somebody, I don't know, Shantha, maybe you know. But sometimes then you have to go in and you have to reinitiate and you have to give approval again for LinkedIn to work with Buffer. So when that happens, that just happened to me last week or this week, Monday, I think it was. So when that happens, Buffer will send you an email letting you know that if a post failed, something that you scheduled failed to post, then you have to go in and you have to reinitiate. Just basically give permission again. So
I've actually noticed that. I thought it was just something kind of funky going on with how I had things set up, but it does happen every single month.
Yeah. So you don't want to post too far out. I guess that's the lesson there. Or if you do, be prepared that something that you think is going to hit maybe isn't going to hit.
Yeah. So before our interview, we had a nice little conversation about spam and how we both have been the victims of spam on LinkedIn. And I'm kind of like, sometimes I feel sort of like taken advantage of, because I'll accept someone's connection expecting a real relationship, a real conversation, real networking, just to find out they just want to spam me. So I know you've had that same experience, and I don't want to be that person. I want to grow my business, but I don't want to be put into a spam category. So what can we do to actually, you know, promote ourselves, market ourselves, maybe as a job seeker, maybe market our services as a business owner, but not have our message come across as a spam message?
I think my favorite question in the entire world, because that leads me to part of that conversation earlier about what's your strategy and what do you want to do on LinkedIn? And why do you want to connect, or why do you connect with someone to begin with? I am a screaming from the rooftops, huge proponent that when you send an invitation to connect with someone, you need to spend a moment and you need to say to them why you want to connect. You have to, what's in it for you as the person sending the invitation, and what's in it for the person receiving the invitation? You know, obviously if we know somebody, you've met them in a networking event or something like that, that's one thing. But especially when you're reaching out to people that you don't know, when you're on your mobile device, they've just updated the mobile device. It used to be it was really hard to find a way to personalize it. Now there's three dots on when you're looking at someone's profile. Before you hit the connect button, there's three dots, and you push that, you know, click those three dots. Or no, I'm sorry, maybe it's a drop-down arrow. I think different devices are different. But anyway, you push that, whatever that is, the three dots or the down arrow, and it says personalize invite. This is where you take a moment and you say, hi, John, or whoever that is. Hi, John. I see that we are both members of the Atlanta Chamber of Commerce, and I really enjoyed our conversation, or I would really like to get to know you better. Maybe we could schedule a coffee. That way you're telling them up front what you want. Or maybe you just say to somebody, hi, I see that we're in the same industry and we have a lot of common friends. Do you think it makes sense if we would connect here on LinkedIn? That way you're giving them an option to connect or not to connect. You're letting them know what it is. What is it about their profile, or what is it that you saw that is intriguing you to want to send that invite? So after you personalize invite, then maybe that gives someone an idea of whether they want to connect or not. As a receiver of an invitation that doesn't have an it doesn't have a personalized message, I look at their profile and I go, okay, what does this person want? What do they do? I look for commonality, and I always, always, if they haven't told me what they want, the little manage button at the top, and I send them a reply message saying, thanks so much for your invitation. I'd love to know what inspired you to send it. Please fill me in on how I can be of help to you and how you anticipate our relationship moving forward. I look forward to your reply. And so it's kind of formal, but I'm asking them, why do you want to connect? What's the deal here? And invariably, probably used to be 1 out of 10 would reply. Now I'm getting about 6 out of 10 replying, and that way I can make the decision about whether I want to connect. From that point, if we continue the conversation, if I get one of those emails like we talked about earlier, where as soon as we connect, bam, they're trying to sell me something, I'll flip them back and go, oh, this wasn't the terms we talked about. Or I unconnect with them. But it's really just a matter of setting the parameters before the conversation even gets going. It's hard. There's people out there that all they want to do is sell, sell, sell. You know, with Facebook changing the algorithm, that's what they're there for, is they're now on LinkedIn wanting to sell, sell, sell. But at least try and get that conversation started. So then you have a good idea what to expect.
Yeah, it seems so counterproductive, too, because it leaves a bad taste in my mouth when someone only wants to sell to me and not really want a real relationship. So
that is so true. Because you're not there to be sold to, are you?
Absolutely not.
I'm not. No, I'm not. I'm there for the relationship. And, you know, you kind of asked the question, too, about, well, how do we begin to do that, to let them know about our services? Oftentimes, someone will reply to me and will say, well, I'm really interested in what you do. Or I could, you know, I'd like to follow you. Or I'd like to learn more about you. That kind of opens the door then for that conversation. Well, how could I be of help to you? And then maybe the next step is scheduling a phone conversation. You know, actually taking it off LinkedIn and trying to schedule a phone conversation. I don't start my conversations with, hey, to you, let's schedule it. I let them ask me. And if they're interested, then that's great. Then we move forward. It's kind of a soft way to go about doing it without being that spammy, icky guy, you know? And then after every person that I connect with, whether they've invited me or whether I invited them, I always follow up with a really, really nice, I'm so glad we're connected. How can I help you?
Absolutely.
And then here's a little trick that I do is I sign it Sue Gresham, the LinkedIn lady, and then I put my web URL. So I actually have a signature on my LinkedIn in mail and inbox messages. That way they'll know how to get in touch with me if they want to.
That is genius. I really love that. Yes, Sue, this was absolutely wonderful. I feel like I can chat with you all day long, especially about LinkedIn, how to grow our businesses. And I really want to thank you so much for being here.
Well, it was absolutely my pleasure. Thank you so much.
Yes, so I'm confident that our listeners will be able to take this information and bring their LinkedIn profile to the next level. So I wanted to, before we part, I wanted to find out if you have 3 nuggets or takeaways or maybe 3 things that people overlook when it comes to their LinkedIn presence.
Oh, I love that. Okay, so the first thing that people really do overlook is that there's areas of their profile that they aren't using actively enough. And they're up in the profile section. It's up on the, when you're in your edit profile screen, it's a blue button in the upper right. Take a look at what those are. You know, most of us, especially entrepreneurs, we belong to a lot of organizations. It could be a chamber. It could be a women's group. It could be, we could be volunteering for a nonprofit, or we could be volunteering for anybody. We could be involved in things at church. We could be doing, who knows, you know, because as entrepreneurs, we are out a lot. And so look at those sections and be sure to fill them out. If you're volunteering or if you have volunteered, talk about that. If you're in an organization, be sure to list it because, one, those are searchable. Two, they help add credibility and help to show that you are out there and that you are actively involved in your community. And they add more credibility to you, but they also really, really, really just help add more personality. So I highly suggest that little thing right there. Another little thing that I recommend that people do with their LinkedIn presence is really set up a schedule on putting it into your calendar that you're going to go into LinkedIn, because you know the day gets busy and all of a sudden it's 3 o'clock or it's 5 o'clock or it's 6 o'clock and you think, oh my goodness, the people that are reaching out to you on LinkedIn and the people that you're engaging with, that's your professional network. And just as you don't ignore your inbox, you know, on your email, you can't ignore your inbox in LinkedIn and your invitations and so on and so forth. So if you can make it a 15 minutes a day to pop in and reply to your invitations and send an invitation and just create a process, that will really help grow your LinkedIn. LinkedIn has some little things that are going on, and I guess it's kind of worth mentioning just briefly. For when we are looking for people, they have what they call search limits. And if you have a free account, and even if you have the basic business account, they get kind of stinky about how many searches you can do in a month. And so by being active is a great thing, but by using it and doing search, 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 LinkedIn might shut you down. So you only invite a few people to connect a day. Only do a few searches a day, and that'll help you stay out of LinkedIn jail, so to speak. Those are little tidbits that entrepreneurs and that job seekers especially should know as you're searching and using that for people. Add it as part of your schedule, and make it part of your ritual. It also helps you keep on task for growing your business as you're
awesome.
Constantly. Yeah, as you're meeting new people.
Yes, great, great nuggets. I really appreciate those, and I know our listeners do as well. And Sue, let us know where we can find you online.
Oh, I love that. Well, of course, LinkedIn. I'm listed as Sue Gresham, and my LinkedIn URL is www.linkedin.com/in/Sue Gresham. Gresham. So that's real easy. But you can go to my website, simple again, sue-gresham.com, and you'll find information. I've got blog articles, and you'll find information about not just the services I provide, but I have a weekly newsletter, and you can sign up for that there and get some free stuff from that. I will be offering an online course coming up. My goal is June 15th. So if I can get it all put together and get it finished, that'll be the idea. And it'll be a real simple, basic, how to get going on LinkedIn and walk you through the entire process from strategy all the way through figuring out what to post.
Well, thank you so much for that, Sue. I really, again, appreciate you being here with us. I feel like we could do a part two. I really wanted to talk about LinkedIn groups with you, and I also want to find out about this course you have. So we'd love to have you on again.
That would be great. And groups, you know, you brought up groups. I'll just mention this real quick. Groups are going through a major change. And, you know, when we get on again, they might have it all figured out. And so we might have some really awesome stuff to share, because I know that they're working on trying to make them manageable. So I'm that's one thing I'm really excited about happening with LinkedIn, is that upcoming change.
Well, let's keep our fingers crossed for that. So
exactly.
Yes. Now to our listeners, I want to hear from you. What do you think? Are you planning on upping your LinkedIn game, making changes to your profile, not spamming your connections, growing your network? What do you think? Please send your feedback to brandingwithpurposepodcast@gmail.com. We love to hear from you. Now, today's Ask Shanta segment is all about LinkedIn. We are talking about video marketing and how it fits into the LinkedIn stratosphere. I don't know if you guys know, but LinkedIn has finally jumped on the video ad bandwagon. They're now doing sponsored content. They're giving businesses the opportunity also to add video to company pages. I'm very, very excited about this. Video gets more engagement than any other form of content, and LinkedIn is no exception to this rule. According to LinkedIn's own statistic, users are 20 times more likely to share a video on the platform than any other type of post. So it just makes sense for LinkedIn to make video more of a focus and to provide more options for video use. So last August, LinkedIn rolled out native video, and I've been using this on my LinkedIn, in my LinkedIn marketing strategy as well. And more recently, they added new sticker and text options to give your video presentation a whole nother element. Now LinkedIn has taken the next step, and with these video-sponsored ads and content, you can actually have video ads placed in the LinkedIn news feeds as a standalone post. The video ads have a persistent call-to-action button, which, as a business owner, it will give you the opportunity to capture leads at any point throughout the video. This is very valuable. Video for sponsored content can also be targeted by traits like job title, seniority, company name, industry, skills, and so much more. In addition to video for sponsored content, LinkedIn, like I said, is giving all companies and publishers the ability to showcase video on their company pages. I'm definitely going to be doing this. LinkedIn notes that company page videos is 5 times more likely to generate conversation compared to other types of content. Very exciting, guys. Hope you guys are able to leverage these tools with LinkedIn. And that is it for our Ask Shanta segment. Don't forget to check us out at the Up to Me Radio Facebook page for show updates, for radio network updates and information. You can also check our show on Google Play. You can check us out on Stitcher, iTunes, and you can find out how to reach me directly at competitivebrand.com. Thank you so much for listening. You could have been anywhere in this world, but you have decided to spend your time here with me, and I truly appreciate you for that. Have a great one.